ना भेदेना व्यक्तिस्थ इवा तद्गतः लक्ष्येत स्थूलमतिभिर् आत्मा च विस्थितो अर्कवत् बुध्यते स्वेन भेदेन व्यक्तिस्थ एव तद्गतः लक्ष्यते स्थूलमतिभिर् आत्मा च अवस्थितो अर्कवत् बुध्यते स्वेन भेदेन व्यक्तिस्थ एव तद्गतः लक्ष्यते स्थूलमतिभिर् आत्मा च अवस्थितो अर्कवत् बुध्यते स्वेन भेदेन व्यक्तिस्थ एव तद्गतः लक्ष्यते स्थूलमतिभिर् आत्मा च अवस्थितो अर्कवत्
Madhujis. बुध्यते इज थॉट ऑफ स्वे इन इज ओरिजिनल फॉर्म न नॉट भेदेना इन टर्म्स ऑफ डाइवर्सिटी व्यक्ति ऑन सेपरेट रिफ्लेक्टेड ऑब्जेक्ट्स स्थ सिचुएटेड इव अपरेंटली तद्गतः एक्चुअली हैविंग एंटर्ड विद इन देम लक्ष्यते सीम्स स्थूलमति भी टू दोज हूज इंटेलिजेंस इज डल आत्मा द सेल्फ च ऑल्सो अवस्थिता सिचुएटेड अर्कवत् Like the sun. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Even when reflected in various objects, the sun is never divided, nor does it merge into its reflection. Only those with dull brains would consider the sun in this way. Similarly, although the soul is reflected through different material bodies, the soul remains undivided and non-material. Purport. The sun is reflected in many objects such as windows, mirrors, shiny metal, oil, water and so on, yet the Son remains one and indivisible. Similarly, the eternal spirit soul within the body is reflected through the screen of material body. Thus, the soul appears to be old or young, fat or skinny, happy or sad. The soul may appear to be American, Russian, African, Hindu or Christian. However, the eternal soul in its natural position is free of any material designation. The word stula mati bhi in this verse indicates that those whose intelligence is gross and dull. We have practical experience of a dog urinating on a valuable painting at an outdoor art show. Due to its dull intelligence, the dog could not appreciate the actual value of the painting. Similarly, unless one takes to Krishna consciousness, one is grossly misusing the invaluable opportunity of human life. Human life is meant for self-realization, and we should not waste time bickering over material designations such as capitalist, communist, American, Russian and so on. Instead, all people should take to the loving devotional service of God and realize their eternal pure identity. One should understand the sun by observing its direct manifestation and not its distorted reflection on material objects. Similarly, one should consider every living being in terms of his pure spiritual identity beyond the distorted manifestation of material designations. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha. Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Nusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, welcome on this auspicious day. It's quite a festive environment right now. It's the new year for many, many people, especially in Maharashtra, Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh, and I guess many places. So it is a new year. It is, as I understand, I was trying to understand, it is called Yugadi. Today is the word Yugadi or Gudi Padwa. Yugadi is actually the day where the Kali Yuga started, the first day of Kali Yuga. It's the beginning, Yuga Adi. So it's the creation, Lord Brahma. The first day of Kali Yuga was the first day of the mantra of Chaitra, which is today. So it's the new year. So anything that we do on, as we say, well begun is half done. So when you begin well, then half is done. So on this wonderful day, the best thing to do is to obviously be in the association of devotees, to have darshan of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. A very auspicious day. And most auspicious to again get a chance to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati ruttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. We recited this beautiful verse from the first canto, second chapter, which talks about the powerful effects of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is all that we need. If we are sincere sadhakas who are wanting to make rapid progress in Krishna consciousness, what is it that one thing that we need? Purification, isn't it? We want to purify our heart. And one of the most powerful ways to purify the heart, or rather the most powerful way of purifying the heart, is regular attendance of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. All the abhadra, all the horrible things are removed. So today we are continuing our discussion on the various gurus that the Avadhuta Brahmana is explaining. The background is, this is a discussion between Uddhav and Krishna. This is called the Aila Gita, the Uddhav Gita or the Hamsa Gita, wherein Krishna is instructing Uddhav before he departs. We have Krishna instructed Arjuna, which is called the Bhagavad Gita. This is the Uddhav Gita. So we are in this particular seventh chapter of the Uddhav Gita, wherein we are discussing the various gurus that the Avadhuta Brahman learns just simply by observing. This is a very, very important aspect that we learn from this particular chapters that we are talking about, of learning through observation. How many times have we seen the sun? This particular verse talks about the sun, and I think yesterday also talks about the sun. I mean, its sun is all pervasive. We see the sun, we experience the sun. In fact, there cannot be any existence without the sun. But how many of us have really, really got some wisdom seeing the sun? Not many. I mean, I think I was just questioning myself. That at the most, when we experience the sun, we just say it is just too hot. I mean, what comes out is simply some frustration. It's just very hot. But how is it that this Avadhuta Brahman is teaching by his example that by seeing things that we ordinarily see everywhere, whether it is fire, what we discussed on last Sunday, or we have the time factor, which we discussed, I think, on Friday, or the sun, and tomorrow I think we'll discuss about the pigeon. I mean, we see this everywhere, but do we learn lessons? We don't learn any lessons through them. We don't really have any wisdom that we can gather from these things that we see. And why is it? What is the problem that if Avadhuta Brahman can learn so many lessons, what is the problem that we don't learn? And that's why Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us the process of learning. And if we seek, it is explained by Jesus Christ, seek and you shall find. So wisdom is available everywhere. But you need to seek it. Otherwise, what we seek is what we find, and what we are seeking is just ordinary transactions, and what we get in return is ordinary understanding. But when you are really seeking wisdom, then every aspect of every transaction or everything that we do or we see or we hear or we interact with is going to give us deep wisdom and realizations. So today, the Avadhuta Brahman is saying about the sun. He said that, how do we really understand the sun and what is it that we learn from the sun? The sun can be seen in the sky, and the sun can also be seen in its reflection. The sun, as explained the purport, can be seen through the windows, through a mirror, through a shining object, or shiny metal. But what is intelligence? Will we understand the sun the way the sun is in the sky, or to understand the sun through different reflections? Obviously, the right understanding is to see the sun the way it is in the sky. Correct? So similarly, the Avadhuta Brahman is explaining, and the last statement of the purport is very interesting, that one should understand the sun by observing its direct manifestation and not its distorted reflection on material objects. And he says, similarly, this is the lesson we learn from the sun. Similarly, one should consider every living being in terms of his pure spiritual identity beyond, very interesting words now, very interesting statement, beyond the distorted manifestation of material designation. Distorted manifestation of material designation. So we are going to briefly discuss about this understanding of what is distorted manifestation of material designation. But before that, you know, let's understand what exactly is the difference between information, knowledge, and wisdom. But what we are talking about is wisdom. What is information? Information is something which is all over. It's raw data, right? It's just raw data. It's just data is available everywhere. Information is just, you Google something, you have a whole list of pages and pages and pages and pages of data. You just say the sun, S-U-N, and you have practically every data that you need about the sun. So that's what is called information. Is that information of any use to us? Just pure information? I mean, it's there, but provided we have the right knowledge to use that information, that's why we do what we call a specific search. If you're searching for Surya Narayan, so you say Surya Narayan, and then you get a more specific search, because you are using the information which you have, which is on the sun, but you are just crystallizing it, and you're getting what you call some sort of knowledge. Knowledge is nothing but distilled information. You have tons of knowledge and tons of information. You distill it down. You know how to use the information to the way you need it. And that gives knowledge. But information, or for that matter, knowledge, will not give us the understanding of how to use that knowledge. For example, we search for fire, and we get the fire burns, right? So you know that fire burns. It's a knowledge, and the quality of fire, information that comes to us is that fire burns, and the knowledge is that I should not touch fire. But wisdom is to know where fire is, what are the precautions I should take so that I don't get in touch with any fire. And the wisdom is also to understand that fire can be present in many, many various forms, maybe electricity,
different things. And that is what we call wisdom, is to use the knowledge, the information at the right place, at the right time, with the right people. That's wisdom. Correct? So that's the difference between these three things. Let's very clearly understand information, knowledge, and wisdom. It appears to be the same thing in one sense, it's just data. Information is data, knowledge is also some data, and wisdom is also some behavior based on that data. But it is quite specific. So what the Avadhuta Brahman is showing here is a data which we all see, in this case the sun, is there. But he is not just seeing the data. He is not seeing the sun as just the sun. Oh, it's the sun. But he's seeing that sun with proper knowledge. And with that proper knowledge, with the proper understanding, he's deriving real wisdom from the sun and learning very, very important lessons from the sun. Now, can you imagine if whatever we do or whatever we interact with, if we can derive wisdom from everything that we do, then the whole interaction, or in that case, the whole world becomes a wonderful classroom for all of us to learn wisdom. Every interaction will be wisdom, will make us what we call wise. Like we begin sometimes a story. There was an old wise man. Right? Wise man. Wise man means he knows what is right and what is wrong, how to behave, how to talk to people, what to do, what not to do. That's wisdom. Wisdom does not come with knowledge. Let's be very clear on that. An intelligent person is not necessarily wise. Many times we think, oh, this person is very intelligent. That's data. He's storing a lot of data. But that data does not make him wise. Wisdom will come when you do deep introspection of that data that you have. Sukadev Goswami and all the things that we are reading here is talking about wisdom. Many times, you know, devotees feel very excited that yes, I know this chapter of the Gita. Oh, he knows the full Gita by heart. That is very good. It's important. It's very purifying. Or for that matter, I attend every single Bhagavatam class, which is very good because attending class is very purifying. But my dear friends, whether you recite the Gita or recite the Bhagavat or hear the Bhagavat or read any book, what we are actually gathered is information and obviously some knowledge, because the speaker shares his knowledge. But the wisdom has not come yet. The wisdom will come when, on how will you use the information or the knowledge in your own life, and you apply. So applied knowledge is wisdom. Applied information is knowledge, and applied knowledge is wisdom. You understand the difference? If you have information and you learn how to apply the information, that gives you knowledge. But you learn how to apply that knowledge in your own life, because my life and your life is different. How a particular information or knowledge is applicable to me and to you is different, because every one of us in a different scenario of life. But how to apply that knowledge in my circumstance is wisdom. And that wisdom is something which is very, very rare. And if we simply learn from this Avadhuta Brahmana, what is he doing by observing and sharing with us on what he's observing? Is that he is gaining a lot of wisdom. He's sharing a lot of wisdom. So I was just giving a deep understanding to think about this subject matter. I said, why is it that we don't get wisdom when we see things? Let's be honest. When was the last we saw the sun?
I mean, we saw it actually, right? Many times we do Surya Namaskar, or we offer Argya to the sun god, we see the sun. Today I was driving, because I was going to speak on the sun, I was seeking the sun's blessings. So please bless me, please give me the rays of your blessings. But let's be honest. What did any one of us gather any wisdom seeing the sun in the near past? Anyone raise your hands? Oh, for that matter, seeing fire. Like last Sunday, we had a beautiful, elaborate class on fire. But we heard the class. But did we learn any? I mean, did we really learn any wisdom? We saw fire, I'm sure. But do we learn any wisdom from that? And why is it? Because the person who wants to receive wisdom, there has to be a proper step-by-step process. And let's discuss the process of how we can get wisdom from everything that we see around. I was just so excited with this thought that if everything that I see around, everything that I interact with, every people that I talk to, if I can gain wisdom from that, I mean, that will be really wonderful, isn't it? That will be the proper utilization of every minute of my life, because every minute I'm gaining something. A smart person wants to gain in everything. A smart businessman, if in every transaction, he wants to gain something. So if we are smart, because we all know we have a particular fixed number of moments that we all live. And in that fixed number of moments, we need to become wise. Wise enough that antakales samayavam smaramukta kalevaram, to that extent wise that at the end of life we realize that there's nothing that I need to be attached to seven except the lotus feet of Krishna. That's the real wisdom. That's ultimate wisdom. Ekale Ishwara Ekara, what's that? Ekale Ishwara Krishna Sakala Bhritya. That the only truth is Krishna and our Sakala Bhritya. That is the ultimate wisdom we can get. But it is not easy to get that wisdom. Because our Sakala Bhritya, what is that our Sakala? What are all those things that is Bhritya? We need to know that this is all Bhritya, this is useless. Right? So in every interaction, every minute, every hour, every day, we need to be more wise than the previous day. We cannot afford to live our life in such a way that we live it as it comes. Spiritual life, Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj explained, it's one of the most powerful things that I remember about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He said, spiritual life is a state of emergency, he said. And that was the mood of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj always. It is in a state of emergency. What do you mean in a state of emergency? I mean, none of us young people, I mean, at least I have not seen any war. But for our adults, they have seen war. And what is a war? I heard from my parents. When there's a war, that means everything in the night is pitch dark. You can't on lights because the enemy will know that there's people staying here and they will bomb that place. It's pitch dark. And all you can light is one candle and that too just below some small table. And you can eat down there below the table because the light should not go out of the window. And there's sirens blowing. And there are people walking. I say, hey, off your light, off your light. The policemen going around because it's war. And in that war situation, Bhakti Dev Maharaj said in an American style, you won't be owning your TV and eating potato chips. Will you do that? Arjun, now let me see some TV cereal and eat potato chips. It is serious business. It is an emergency situation. Every minute is serious business. So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj explained that spiritual life is serious business. Every minute, time and tide wait for no man. Every minute, every second you are lost is a serious loss. And what do you mean by serious loss? If we have not used that 1 second or 1 minute in making ourselves come one step closer to Krishna, then it is a serious loss. And how do we really come one step close to Krishna? Is by gaining some knowledge or some wisdom. Either the rejection of some negative or the adoption of something positive. If this doesn't happen every minute, and it doesn't happen every minute unless until you are conscious of it. How many times we do things in a most unconscious way? I mean, many times I ask myself, I finished 8 rounds. I didn't even know I finished, chanted 8 rounds. Hare Krishna, it's just so much a mechanical thing, isn't it? Coming to temple, everything is so damn mechanical. Because we are not conscious of it. And my dear friends, because we are not conscious of it, we do not gain any knowledge, any wisdom from that. So there has to be serious consciousness if we want to really gain wisdom. To be Krishna conscious, it means to be wise. Let's very clearly understand that. Prabhupada said, a devotee is a thorough gentleman. And if you read the purports of Prabhupada, I was reading it yesterday. So many places Prabhupada explains, a devotee needs to be a wise man. What do we mean by wise? Wise means quite deep. So, how do we really gain wisdom from everything that we do? The first thing is, obviously we are observing so many things, right? But there's a difference, as we hear many times, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj saying, there's a difference between observing and observing. It's the same thing. The difference between eating prasad and really, prayerfully eating prasad. Right? So what is the difference between these two statements? It is what we are adding in the second statement, which is not there in the first statement, is feelings. So what we usually do is observation. But what we really need to do first step to gain wisdom is attentive observation. To observe things attentively. Mother Nature, she's our mother, she's the best teacher we can have. Isn't it? All our mothers are the best teachers. They teach us everything in life. Yes? But the best teacher we have is Mother Nature. And as a mother, she's ready to give all wisdom, all knowledge to all of us as a children, provided we are attentive. Many times in the class, the teacher is teaching and you are like, and then teacher throws a chalk. Hey, where are you? Right? Because you are physically present but mentally absent. You are somewhere else. So you observe things. As Avadhuta Brahman is saying, you observe the sun, we observe the sun, we observe the fire, we observe the pigeon, we observe it. But difference between his observation and our observation is, he was doing attentive, he was thinking about it. We read this book of Radhanath Maharaj, and one thing which really struck me from that book is how he was observing a dead body at the ghat, which was a place, Manikarnika ghat. So many people see dead bodies burning. I mean, we all have seen dead bodies burning, right? But seeing dead body burning and really intensely seeing and gaining wisdom and realizations, and there was a whole lecture that he spoke about on what was his observations, how the hair first burns and then how the body gets consumed, and by seeing that you gain so much wisdom. So first step is attentive observation. But our mind is so chanchal, it doesn't allow you to attentively observe things. It is just running here and there. Because the mind is so much bombarded with so many things constantly. Constant stimulus. If you want to be attentive, you need to be focused on one thing. But the mind, all the more now with this Kali Yuga environment that we are living in, and with this current scenario of constant bombardment of the material energy, we are not allowed to focus or make what we call attentive observation. But if we do really in a conscious way make attentive observation, the next step after attentively observing things is deep introspection. First step is attentive observation. Second step
to gain wisdom is deep introspection, going deep in your heart and thinking about what you are observing, thinking about what you have heard, thinking about what you have interacted things with. The reason why these two things are very difficult to do much more now. I mean, you know, during my time or during in the previous, there was not so much of a problem of children not able to focus in their classes. And what we call this, what is syndrome called? What is it called? Attention deficit. Attention ADS. Attention deficit syndrome. Now tell me honestly, those who have been in the 40s, have you heard this attention deficit syndrome when you were a student? Does anyone of your friends have said, "Oh my dear friend, you know I'm suffering from ADS"? Did anyone of us, I mean, did we even hear about it? Attention deficit syndrome. I mean, we all were students, everybody studied, but why is it that in the last 10-15 years that we have been seeing more and more and more people and more children who are having this serious problem of attention deficit syndrome? That means they can't just focus on one thing. Just constantly chanchal, like monkeys. Now, how many of you have observed monkeys? This is again part of attentive observation. You learn so many things. I stay close to the national park. I go to the national park for walk every day. And it is such an amazing thing to just sit and observe monkeys. Oh my goodness. You know, you get such. So how constantly? They're constantly so chanchal. Because the mind is just wanting this food and then wanting this monkey, wanting here and then looking here and looking here. Constant. You can't focus. That's why the Shastra explained. Your mind is like a monkey. But if you are comparing the mind to be a monkey, let's observe the monkey to understand what the mind is. Because you can see the mind, you can see the monkey. The attention deficit syndrome is, the reason is, in my understanding, I want to really spend some time. Because of this syndrome that we all are exposed to, and let's be very honest, we are exposed to this syndrome which is called information overload. There is a huge overload of information. And many of us, we as devotees, we don't take intoxication. But many of us are suffering from what we call infoxication. Intoxicated by information. Or what I also call it, infobesity. We are obese, not in physical way, we may not be, but we are obese because we have got overload of information. This is called info-obesity or infoxication. What is exactly this whole idea of information overload? I was just doing some research. It said that when volume of potentially useful and relevant information available exceeds processing capacity and becomes a hindrance rather than a help. Now tell me one thing. 20 years ago, or 25 years, 20 years ago, if I wanted to buy a simple soda bottle, you know, you go to a shop and you say, "I want a soda." And you obviously, those who know, we have this Duke soda. I mean, in India, we have Duke or whatever. You will get a soda and you just... Now you go to a mall and you say, "I want a soda." There's a whole range of maybe 15 different types of sodas. Flavored sodas, ice cream flavor, pineapple flavor, this flavor, that flavor soda. I was discussing with my very close friend just 2 days back. And he was in London and he said that I have some indigestion. He said, "I want to buy some soda." But that devotee drove him to a mall, because in London you don't have small shops. You just buy everything from a mall. So they went to a mall and he said, "You buy." And he was so shocked. He said, "Something that should take only 1 minute to buy, you just buy a soda and you buy it and you drink it and you finish it off." But
you know, there was a whole range, and he said, you want this soda, which is orange flavor, which is pineapple flavor, and which is having more of soda capacity, and it's 5.5% soda, 4.54% soda. He was so bewildered, it was so confusing. So here what we have is the information overload. So much of things in front of you. Does it help your selection or does it make you more confused? Let me be very honest. You feel that, well, I have so much information with me. You know, I have the whole Prabhupada books on my phone. You feel nice, right? All the information on one phone. But believe me, I experienced myself, I don't know about you all, every time I open that app to read, I'm confused, what should I read? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, no, Bhakti Rasamrita, Bhakti Upadeshamrita, no, Bhagavatam. It's confusing. I was thinking it would have been much better if I had just one book in my bag. I could just read that book because I don't have a choice. You just have one book and you just read that book. But here I have a whole choice. On my iPod or my phone, I have all the lectures of Prabhupada. My dear friend, how many have you heard? Because you are just so confused, you don't even hear one lecture properly. Because you want to hear 10 minutes of this lecture, then you switch off. But if you don't have a choice, you honestly hear the whole lecture. So this friend we were discussing on Friday, he was just saying that this whole information, this whole thing that we have is like an ocean. What does an individual person do with the ocean? What's the ocean used to an individual person? Nothing. All the ocean can do is get overflooded and overflood his consciousness. But what we need is not even an ocean, not even a pond, but just a few buckets of water at the most to take bath and drink. So you just have a pond. And that to a pond is also just, you just take some buckets from the pond and use it for your daily usage. So my dear friends, please let us be conscious about this. Prabhupada said, spiritual life is all about simple living and high thinking. Many a times, or most of the time when we talk about simple living, we just assume simple living means simple clothes, maybe simple food. But how many times have we thought simple lifestyle, non-confused lifestyle? At any point of time, an average person in India, just latest statistics 2016. I mean, latest just two years old statistics, is surrounded by 3.5 different types of gadgets. At any point of time, average Indian, now India has a huge rural population, so that the average is 3.5 different types of gadgets, and each of these gadgets is flooding you with information. I have some more statistics for you. This is again a 2 year old statistics. It could be much more now. I'm just trying to drive the point that as devotees, we are not aloof from this information overload. And I will explain how it is really affecting our own sadhana and our progress in Krishna consciousness also. That every minute, 60 seconds, this is some statistics. There are 168 million emails sent in the world. 168 million emails sent. That means so much data getting transferred in 1 minute. There are 694,000 Google searches. That is almost 700,000 Google searches happening every minute. Please be conscious of these numbers. There are 700,000 Facebook status updates happening every minute. That means 700,000 people are updating their status, and obviously that is information thrown to the world for us to see. Oh, this is the status. He's eating a pani puri. Oh, very nice. He's eating this. Oh, very nice. It's just 700,000 people are flooding you with that information every minute. There are 400,000 Skype calls happening every minute. That means information is shared. 400,000 Skype calls on the internet. There are 100,000 Twitter messages exchanged
every minute. And why? What is this Twitter? Twitter is nothing but one person tweets and he wants the whole world to know about it. That means it is the information thrown to the world. How many? 100,000. I am sure this is extremely low number. In 2 years, it has really must be much, much more. There is 25 hours duration of YouTube videos uploaded every minute. 25 hours of YouTube videos uploaded every minute. And now, tell me, what makes us feel as a devotees, we are aloof from all this? You know, probably we are devotees, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. We are chanting Hare Krishna, we are very happy. We are not connected to all these things, information. We know that we are wise people and we use everything in Krishna's service after all. Yukta Vairagya principle. So I go to YouTube, but I'm going to use all the YouTube in Krishna's service. Let's not be in this phantasmagoria. Now phantasmagoria means let's not be in this illusion that you are not going to be consumed by this information overload. Let's be honest. I mean, you don't have to answer me, but ask yourself. Are you able to focus on things the way you could focus 10 years ago? At least I got a big no for myself because of so many gadgets which are flooding with information. Information that you don't need. Majority information you don't need to know. Wasn't it a wonderful world? That, you know, I mean, in one sense, is the world is, you know, it is nice to know everything that is happening in the world. But let's be honest, is it really required to know everything that is happening in the world? How many of you feel that yes, we must know everything that is happening in the world? Or rather, that yes, after knowing everything that is happening in the world, it has helped me. Is there anyone in this room who can be honest? You can raise your hands and say, yes, it has really helped me that I know everything in the world. That I have access to not only Times of India. Earlier, you would just buy one newspaper because it costs money. Right? In a house, there would be one newspaper coming. You would read one newspaper. But now, you have people scanning through newspapers the whole day because when you have Times of India, then you have DNA and then you have Economic Times. And it's just so much information is so easily available and free of cost. And you read and read and read and read. Believe me, there are latest experiences in railways, trains, there have been much, much more less fights in the trains. Nobody is fighting because everybody wants to jump in the train and get hooked onto the phone. My dear friend, we are really in a serious soup if we are not conscious of this information overload problem. We are not able to focus. We are talking about deep introspection. We are talking about attentive observation. It doesn't happen when you are walking and you are trying to observe and ting ting and some message comes. Oh, then you open the phone. I mean, I personally, I've really taken a serious decision in my life to really do something drastic to get rid of this information overload. Because it is really hampering Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami said, things favorable to Krishna consciousness should be accepted, things unfavorable should be rejected. And let's be honest, this can be seriously unfavorable if we are not really well trained to use this information in a proper way. It can seriously hamper your internal Krishna consciousness. Because it doesn't allow you to focus. By chanting, we are bombarded with these messages. By doing some work, we are talking to people, we have some messages. It's just so much of overload. So one of the things that I request all of you to just do some deep introspection today. Not of the observant things, but deep introspection of what is this information overload doing to you. And you find yourself protected, consider yourself lucky. But you find yourself exposed to the dangers of this information overload, please do something about it. Because believe it or not, whether you know it or not, it is seriously hampering your Krishna consciousness. Because it doesn't allow you to focus on the holy name.
doesn't allow you to focus on the Srimad Bhagavatam, doesn't allow you to focus on relationships with devotees. We are just so busy with a gadget, busy with some information, busy replying, busy observing things which are not required for you to know. Yeah, so first stage is attentive observation. Second is deep introspection. So after having done that, attentive observation, deep introspection, then this third stage that we should be engaging ourselves, and we need time for this, is heartfelt discussion. We just have no time to discuss with people, our friends, because we are, again, busy with so many unwanted things. The unnecessary necessities of life, Prabhupada says in one of the purports. We are so busy getting the unnecessary necessities of life that we are not able to find time to do the necessary things. And the necessary thing is, Machita madagada prana bodhantascha parasparam kathyantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. When will we find tushyanti ramanti? When will we find ourselves to be completely satisfied and completely happy in our interactions, in our Krishna consciousness? Krishna says, Machita madagada prana bodhantascha parasparam. When devotees are engaged into telling each other bodhantascha parasparam, not with a gadget, not with a machine, but with two living beings. You can't do bodhyantasya parasparam with a gadget. Nowadays you have gadgets which speak to you. You can't do things with a gadget. Believe me, I'm not against gadgets. Use it to the extent you can. But there's a very, very thin line where the gadget starts using you. Be on the guard. I'm not against gadgets. It's useful to the extent you use it for your own benefit. Don't let the gadget start using you. So heartfelt discussion. You observe something, you're introspected, then you sit with a friend, sit with a group of devotees, group of your people, with like-minded people, and you discuss. I say, well, this is what I discussed. This is what I observed. And you see, and what this gives rise to what is called churning. When you discuss, what is discuss? Kathyantas, what is parasparam is what happens. He speaks, then you speak. Then he speaks, then you speak. This person speaks. What is happening? Churning. When discussion gives rise to churning, Bhagavatam is all about discussion, it's about churning. Discussion between two great souls, three great souls, Sukadeva Goswami and great souls sitting together is discussion. Attentive observation, heartfelt interest, attentive observation, deep introspection, and then heartfelt discussion. There is no substitute to heartfelt discussion. Let us find time for this. Because from this comes the nectar, from this churning comes the nectar of realization. So when you do these three steps, and which are constantly overpowering or constantly covered with this feeling of humble submission, this is easy to remember. Attentive observation, deep introspection, heartfelt discussion, and the state of the heart is humble submission to Krishna. That Krishna, I want to learn something from what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, I want to learn. That humble submission, if it is there, will give rise to profound realization. Make sense? Attentive observation, deep introspection, heartfelt discussion, humble submission giving rise to profound realization. We don't get realization, which is nothing but wisdom, because we don't engage in this steps. We are very inattentive in our observation. We are very shallow in our introspection, if at all we do any introspection. We practically have no time for heartfelt discussion. And because of that, we don't have any profound realization. We just live the life as it comes. Chalti ka naam gaadi, barti ka naam daadi, whatever you call it. We just live a life as it comes. Believe me, it's a mechanical life. It's a machine life. We don't make any progress. But one of the take-home messages from this Avadhuta Brahman for me personally, which I felt like sharing with all of you, is there's a beautiful poem which I remembered just now, which I learned, I mean, in the 8th or 9th standard. I think that poem goes something like this: what is this life if full of care? There's no time to stand and stare. No time to stand beneath the boughs and watch as long as sheep and cows. I'm just remembered. What is this life if full of care? What is this life if we're constantly busy with so many things that you don't have time to stand and stare? Once Sachinanda Maharaj was discussing in, I was in one of the talks in Birmingham, UK, and he said devotees should have some time where they do nothing. I mean, but we have all this logical, idle-minded devil workshop. But do nothing means nothing externally, so that they are just introspecting. We are always doing something. What is this life full of care? There's no time to stand and stare. No time to stand beneath the boughs. Boughs means the trees. What is this, the poet, I forget the name. Stevenson. William Wordsworth. Watch as long as sheep and cows. What do the sheep and cows do? Huh? I mean, I don't know how many of us have observed cows. Whether we have time to observe a cow. At the most, we observe a cow when we feed something. Because we are busy, we feed and we go. And we just observe the cow. But what the cow does, actually, you observe it in a cow shed. The cow just comes and just observing. Or the buffalo just. There's nothing in one sense. But a human being, we are just so busy. And we find a lot of value in just being busy. I think I've shared it the some time back. I was at one of the leadership training programs or something. Yeah, it was a leadership training program. And they said that one of the things that a leader should always appear to be is that he should be always appear to be very busy. So actually they said, as when you come, you're sitting on a chair, you may have nothing to do. You might be free. When you come out of a cabin, you walk very fast. So people should know that you are busy. Because when you are busy, people will appreciate, oh, he is busy. Let's not disturb him. I mean, that's how shallow is the understanding people have of a leader. The leader should be appearing very busy. But that's not what life is all about. Life is all about deep introspection. Now, just recently I heard the fast food has become very, very prominent, right? So people who are, for that, what, like 30 years, we have talked about fast food. Then there's a whole chain of restaurants which has started, which is called slow food. People are so bugged, you know, eating 2 minutes noodles and 1 minute piece, I mean, fast food, because we have no time. So he says, you don't recognize what you're eating. So it's a slow food. There's a whole chain of restaurant. It's doing quite well. What is it? Slow food. You come here and you peacefully eat your food. You'll be getting, because we'll cook the food in slow gas. It is getting well cooked. And you eat peacefully. You relish your food. You hear nice music. Everything is very slow. So, I mean, the whole material world is very, very binary. Huh? It goes from zero to one. Zero to, but the whole wonderful success of life is to balance. But material life is all about binary. From fast, they will go to slow. But nothing in between. But Krishna consciousness is all about balance. So anyway, so the important thing that we want to learn is the need for attentive observation, deep introspection, heartfelt discussion, which give rise to profound realization. And that's what this Avadhuta Brahman is teaching, of what we learn from the sun. And what are we learning from the sun? We actually discuss now the purport. He is saying that the sun, which is reflected, You don't understand the sun through his reflection, but you have understood the sun from the sun itself. And similarly, what do we learn from this phenomenon of observing the sun by seeing the sun and not the reflection, is that you don't see people the way they are based on their designations, but you see the soul which is there in everyone's heart. The every single person, Jivara Swarupa Hoy, Krishnera Nitya Das. That is the eternal position of every living entity, not only the human beings, of every living entity. Jivara Swarupa Hoy, Krishnera Nitya Das. But so many times, we are bombarded with so many designations. Or rather, we see people with so many designations, and it doesn't really help us to interact with them, because designations, that's why we have these beautiful words, sarva upadir vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uttamam. Sarva upadir vinirmuktam. Upadi means designation. For those who are Gujaratis, upadhi means trouble also, right? For those who know, those who are. Upadhi means trouble. If you want to get rid of trouble, then get rid of designations. Sarva upadhir vinir muktam. Get rid of designations. Only then, what is pure devotional service, as explained by Narad Muni? This is a verse from Narad Bhakti. Bhakti Sutra? It is a verse from Narad Bhakti something. Narmuni explaining the definition of bhakti. How do we define bhakti? Bhakti is defined as sarva upadir vinir muktam. One of the most important requirements of doing bhakti, that you cannot have any upadis. You should not have any upadhi. The only upadhi is das. Prabhupada was categorically very, very clearly in telling us that when the name you get from initiation, the name is not important, but what comes after the name is more important. The das or the dasi is most important. Because that is your real identity. But we are constantly bombarded with so many designations ourselves, and so many designations that we have. I mean, so much, majority of the words are because of designations. That he is from a particular nation, he is from a particular state, he is from a particular language that he is speaking. And that big wars are fought over that. Why? Because of these designations. Please understand how serious this problem is, because we are observing everything because of the designations. And what we learn from the sun is, we cannot see, what we see through the designation is nothing but a distorted image. Do you see the sun properly in a reflection of, say, oil or reflection of water? Will you see the sun properly? It will simply be a distorted image. It won't be the real sun. So when you see somebody from a particular, as if of being from a particular nation, or for being particular caste or creed or sex or particular designation based on your services, that, well, I am a book distributor, and you are a pujari. Services give us designations. Our social status gives us designations. I am rich, he is poor. The moment you see yourself to be rich and you see somebody to be poor, there's automatically the difference in the way you will see the person, isn't it? The moment you see somebody to be a particular caste and say, oh, he is of so caste and I am from this caste, automatically there's your difference. Oh, she is a female and I am a male, automatically. Of course, in dealings you have to consider that. You can't say, well, we all spirit souls, so we can behave the way we want. In dealings we have to consider, there is a male and a female, I am a brahmachari, I am a grihastha, obviously dealings. But in your relationships, in your understanding of each other, if you see each other having some designations, then all that we will be led to is a distorted understanding of the person. So what we learn from the sun is sarva upadir vinir muktam. First of all, what we learn is, let us ourselves get rid, or rather not get bombarded with so many designations. Designations make us having great difficulty in interactions and in dealings. Because the moment you have designation, you think what you are, then you will automatically have difficulties dealing with people who are not what you are. And this is offense. If you are not dealing with a devotee as a devotee, then it is actually an offense. Or seeing a devotee belonging to a particular caste, creed or gender, or seeing your guru belonging to a particular caste, creed or gender, is a serious offense as revealed in our shastras. But how many times we have heard this, but so many times we say, I get along with Marwadi devotees, maja aata hai. Marwadi devotees are maja aata hai. It is nice to deal with Sindhi devotees. So they understand, you know, what I eat, what they eat. What is this Sindhi devotee, Marwadi devotee, Kannad devotee? A devotee is a devotee. Or you are American devotee, we are Indian devotees. Where is this coming from? Sarva upadhir vinir buktam. But it is deep rooted, my friend. Even if you hear it, it's not going to go. It is damn deep rooted inside, because we do see people based on externals. It's not going to go away so fast. We have to constantly train ourselves, and that's why this Avadhuta Brahman is telling, every time you see the sun, you remind yourself. And how many times we see the sun? Every day. Remind yourself every day. Remind yourself many times in a day. Let me deal with people not based on their designations. And we constantly remind ourselves, someday we will fall into a habit. Because it's detrimental to our spiritual life if we're dealing on people's designations. So there's a beautiful story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which I found very interesting. That how to achieve bhakti, we have to give up all designations. Otherwise you don't achieve bhakti. As many times when we come to Krishna consciousness, we know that we have no designation, because nobody has given us any designation. We are just a new Nausukhya Bhakt, or a neophyte devotee, right? That's only designation. He's a neophyte. I'm a neophyte devotee. But as we spend more time in Krishna consciousness, we start getting some designations. He's a senior devotee. Oh, he's a Bhagavatam speaker. He's a counselor. He's a mentor. Oh, very nice. He's one of the most dynamic book distributor. Oh, very nice. So when we find these designations, then slowly we start believing ourselves based on not as Krishna Das, but as we say, a lie spoken too often becomes a truth, right? We speak a lie too often. So we hear a lie too often. I mean, it's not a lie. When people are speaking, they are not saying lies. But for us, it's a lie. When we hear somebody glorifying us, see it as a lie. Of course, don't chastise the person. Why are you saying lies? No, it's not a lie. For a devotee to glorify the devotee is very nice. But as how do a person who is glorified see it? It's a lie. Don't believe it. If you start believing it, you are going to be in a big problem. And you hear a lie again and again and again, you start believing it, you will start thinking, yes, I am actually a nice devotee. Actually, when I speak, people's hearts are changed. Actually, people love my realizations. That means Krishna speaks through me. I am not an ordinary person, because if Krishna speaks through me, how can I be ordinary? How can Krishna use somebody ordinary to speak? If you start believing this, my friends, you are being a big trouble. And what is this all that we're talking about? It's nothing but designations. And that's why Narad Muni is saying, our original guru is advising us, Sarva Upadhir Virir Muktam, Sarva Upadhir Virir Muktam. Remember this statement always. And we have a story of King Pratap Rudra Maharaj. He had practically all designations that you can even dream of. He was a king, very beautiful, very wealthy,
have all the control that he wanted. There were only two Hindu kings in that time in 500 years ago. Krishna Dev Rai in the south and King Pratapudra in Orissa. The whole India was ruled by the Mughals at that time. Only two powerful Hindu kings. You can imagine his power. They could not defeat him. King Pratapudra was that powerful. Otherwise the whole place was ruled by the Mughals. So he was powerful. Obviously when he was powerful, he was very wealthy. I'm sure he had a lot of aristocracy. He had spiritual knowledge also, so he was even spiritually very, very, very knowledgeable. When he met Lord Chaitanya, he said, I want to really meet him, I want to really serve him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I don't meet kings. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi, said, I will not meet kings. And if you insist too much, he was saying to the devotees, if you insist too much to meet the king, I will leave Jagannath Puri. Don't insist. Because I don't meet anybody who was connected to material energy or to dealing with women. I don't deal with them because I'm a strict sannyasi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't meet. What was King Pratapudra Maharaj ready to do? Sarva upadir vinir muktam. He said, I want to give up everything. Now it's easy to tell in a story form, one statement, King Pratapudra was ready to give up everything. But try to do that. First of all, speaking itself is very difficult. At least I will not even speak like that. Because we are attached to things that we own. And how much do we have to be attached to? We have just this much. But Pratapudra had so much to be attached to. And he's not dead, he just spoke it. He actually did it. I'm just fast forwarding the story. Time is running out. King Pratapudra, he said, I want to meet the king, and he was telling the devotees, please tell me how I want to meet Lord Chaitanya. How can I meet Lord Chaitanya? I want to really serve him. I said, for that you have to give up all your royal clothes. You dress like a bhangi, dress like a street sweeper. And do menial work. And he was sweeping the street while Jagannath was coming on a chariot. And when Jagannath reached a particular place, which is called the Aitota Gardens. Aitota Garden, yes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking rest. And the devotees sent King Pratapudra. Now king didn't go in his aristocracy as we discussed. He went in the most ordinary clothes. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was relaxing. He was closing eyes. And Pratapudra Maharaj started massaging his feet. And started singing the Gopi Gita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had observed King Pratapudra earlier when he was sweeping the street, that how this person has given up everything and he just wants to be a menial servant of Lord Jagannath. That was the time where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his heart decided that I will give mercy to King Pratapudra today. Why? Why was he ready to get the mercy of the Lord? One and only reason, because he is ready to give up all his upadhis. What a brilliant story. He said, I don't want to be anything. I actually want to give up my kingdom permanently. Because if I don't get the mercy of the Lord, what is the use of my life? What is the use of our life if we just get stuck in being a counselor or being a mentor or being a book distributor or some designation? We didn't come to Krishna consciousness to get some designation. We originally came to Krishna consciousness to achieve pure love of God, to become a das. But in the bargain, in our journey, we get just said, so caught up with these designations, and that's what the Avadhut Brahman is telling us. Give up these designations. Don't see yourself and don't see the people with these designations. And King Pratapudra, he was massaging, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was hearing, Jayati Te Dikam Janmana Vraje Sarata Indriya Shatswat Datrahi. This is the Gopi Gita he was reciting. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy, oh, this is beautiful. His eyes were closed, and then when he reached, Tava Katham Ritam Tapta Jeevanam Kovibi Riditam Kalma Shapaham Shavana Mangalam Shimadatatam Bhuvi Grinanti He Bhurida Jana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leaped in the air and said, you are indeed Bhurida. You are the most beneficent welfare worker because you are giving me Krishna. And how could he give Krishna to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because he had given up all his upadhis and he was absolute humble disposition serving the Lord. This story, more than any other story, so many other stories are there in our scriptures, which tell us the need
to just give up everything and not consider yourself to be anything but Das. What is famous statement of Prabhupada? You are simply nothing. You are simply insignificant. Somebody wrote, you are most insignificant. You are most nothing, Prabhupada said. Because even most something is some upadhi, right? I'm the most fallen. That's also upadhi. That means everybody else is not as fallen as I am. I'm the most fallen. That's upadhi. So Prabhupada was very, very sensitive about pointing out when a devotee started getting any upadhi. He said, you are most nothing. And what is our understanding? Your position is you are simply insignificant. Please let us remember this statement. I am simply insignificant. And nobody can offend somebody who is insignificant. Nobody can cause any harm to anybody who is insignificant. The insignificant person cannot feel bad about something because he's insignificant. How can we complain? I felt bad. Then the fact that you felt bad about something, that means you feel you have some significance. Of course, what we are talking about is a very difficult stage. Not that I have reached that stage myself, and I'm sure all of us will take a long time to reach it. But that's what we need to be if we need Krishna's supreme mercy. And that's what we learn from this beautiful verse. And we're talking about the sun. Sun has such wonderful, I just went to the Vedabase, Prabhupada's books, and just wrote the sun. You know how many hits I got? I mean, sun is all pervasive, but how many places has the sun been mentioned in the purports, in the verses? I got 73,443 hits, talking about the sun. From Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's lectures and Prabhupada's conversations. That shows how important the sun is. And we spend just a few minutes talking about this beautiful personality, the sun. Because through the sun we are learning so many things. And let us offer respects and let us be conscious, at least today, about this glorious personality, the Surya Narayan. The sun took part in many, many different pastimes. Of course, we are going to very soon celebrate Ram Navami. And Ram was the 67th king in the Surya Vansh. The 67th king, which originally started from the Surya Vansh, was Sri Ramchandra. Ramchandra decided to appear in the solar dynasty, the Surya Vansh. Of course, in that dynasty, we had great kings like Harishchandra, we had great kings like Ambarish. They were all part of the Surya dynasty, the solar dynasty. And we also have this beautiful story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We will share two stories from Chaitanya Charitamrita. That once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the Gambira, this is Jagannath Puri. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always tell devotees to please chant Krishna's holy names. Chant Krishna's holy names. But devotees were excited that, well, Krishna is supreme, but as ever we understand, you are also the supreme. So Advaita Acharya one day got a very, very great desire that today we will not chant Hare Krishna. We will chant the names of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We chant the glories of Gaur Hari. So they started chanting, Gaur Hari Jaya Gaur Hari. And they were chanting intense loud kirtan they were doing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard it in the Gambira. He said, what's wrong with these devotees? What are they chanting? Tell them to stop chanting. He was very angry. And Advaita Acharya had a very unique relationship with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would feel very happy when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was angry. And there are many interactions because of the closeness. In very intense closeness. Advaita Acharya said, Advaita Acharya knew the innermost heart of the Lord. The Lord was showing externally anger, but internally he was happy because he knew that this is the right thing to chant in Kali Yuga. Bhaja Gaurango, Gao Gaurango, Laho Gaurangir Namare, Jejana Gaurango Bhaje, Say Hi Amar Pranare. Nityananda Prabhu shared this, then please all of you chant Gauranga. Bhaja Gaurango, Laho Gaurango. Je jana goranga bhaje syai amar pranare. Nityananda Prabhu said, if you want to be my life and soul, you must chant the names of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Advacharya was doing the same thing. And Chaitanya was saying, tell them to stop immediately. And as they said to stop, you know, sometimes as you say, you know, you tell a naughty person to stop, he does it more. Are maja aate, aur karo. So Advaita was in a naughty mood. He said, come on, chant more loudly. And they started chanting more loudly the names of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very loudly. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came running out and said, stop this. What's wrong with your mental state? Have you gone mad? Can you stop this? And we all know what Advaita Acharya did, right? What he did? He raised his hands and he did like this, as if he was covering the sun. And you know, when you ask somebody something to speak and the person doesn't speak but he simply does some action, he said, hey, bolna yaar, muh se bolna, muh nahi diya hai kya bhagwan ne, bol kuch. So Advaita just said, Chaitanya said, please speak, what does this mean like this? Advaita again said, I'm covering the sun. Then he said, after three times when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, say, I'm covering the sun. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, how can you cover the sun with your hand? Sun is just so vast. He said, exactly. How can you cover the sun? You can't cover the sun with your hands. Similarly, my dear Lord, how long will you cover your qualities, which are like the sun, which are resplendent all over the world? How long will you cover yourself? The whole world will know that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So today I want to broadcast your glories, your names through the whole world. How long will you cover yourself? How long will you show the world that you are simply an ordinary sannyasi? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had no answer. Vedesa sarvam ahameva vedya vedanta krit vedya vedya chaham. Krishna or Chaitanya is the knowledge, is the knowledge of the Vedas. But the soul of the Vedas had no reply to Advaita Acharya. He was dumbfounded. And all he could do is went to his Gambira, closed the door, sat in a corner, and did nothing. He said, because you're defeated by the love of his devotees. And he was very much involved, which was one of the most important part of this pastime. The sun. Because the sun, it's so special. I was thinking, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andhakar Jahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Maya Radhikar. If here in this analogy, Krishna Surya Sama, can you imagine the sun is so great that Krishna is compared to the sun? Can you imagine if something so great, if it has to be compared to something, that thing has to be very great also, isn't it? You can't say Krishna Bab Saman. How can you say Krishna like a bulb? Stupid, it's absolute nonsense. Krishna is the only thing that can be close to Krishna is the sun. That's why the verse says Krishna Surya Sama. So that's how glorious the sun is. Krishna was fighting the Kaliya demon. He was very young. What was his age when he fought the Kaliya demon? 5 years, 6 years? 5 years? Something around that age. He was fighting. He was in the waters for hours. Right? He was fighting for hours and hours. He was in the water. So of course, on one side, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's actually also a child. So he came out of the waters, and what was happening? Krishna was shivering. He was shivering. You stay in water for a long time, you shiver. And Vrindavan is a cold place. So Krishna was shivering. And it's a cold place in winter. Otherwise it is hot also. So Krishna was shivering. And that time, one of the most persons was eager to serve the Lord. The 12 sons of Aditya, that means Surya Bhagwan, the 12 sons of Aditya, or original Vivaswan, they shone on Krishna. Perfect temperature. Like when you are wet, you want to get warm. And the sons of Aditya, Sri Radha Gopinath ki, the sons of Aditya shone on Krishna, and not too hot, not too cold, but perfect temperature for him to get dried. And that place, which is right near the Madan Mohan temple, is called the Dwadasha Aditya Tila, the place where the 12 sons of Aditya shone on Krishna. And Krishna, because of this, he started perspiring. The sun was there, shining on Krishna, Krishna perspiring, and a beautiful kund was formed called the Praskhand Kund. Praskhand Kund means the kund formed by the perspiration of the Lord, which of course is lupta now, you can't see it in manifested state, but it's very much, the place is there, right below the Madan Mohan temple, the place is, when in 88 that kund was there, but now it is no more. The Praskhand Kund. So again, the sun was very much involved in this pastime, and one of the most beautiful places, one of the most beautiful places of Krishna's pastimes every day, believe me, is every day that Krishna and Radharani does the pastimes, is a place called Surya Kund. And who is that personality that Radharani worships every day? Surya Narayan. For those who have visited this beautiful place of Surya Kund, there's a beautiful, beautiful pastime that takes place. Radharani comes there because Jatila and Kutila, who are the mother and sister-in-law of Radharani, they say you should worship Surya Bhagwan. But by worshipping Surya, you get health. By the way, those who want to get health, you get wealth and you get fame. These three things are there when you worship Surya Bhagwan. So I said you should worship so that your husband, Abhimanyu, will get some wealth, because Abhimanyu is not so rich. Is Radharani's so-called husband in Vrindavan. So they encourage Radharani, you please worship this Surya Bhagwan. But that Surya Narayan is no different than Krishna. It is a deity of Krishna who is manifesting the form of Surya Narayan. So Radharani was actually worshipping Krishna every day. And there's a beautiful pastime. If you allow me, we can spend 5 minutes. There's a beautiful pastime. Once this pastime happened at Surya Kund. Once Krishna and Radharani were at Sri Radha Kund. These pastimes are very, very sweet, but obviously much beyond our realizations. But when we hear them, they purify ourselves. You cannot really understand these pastimes, but just by hearing them gives a lot of purification. So Radha and Krishna and all the Gopas and Gopis were at Sri Radha Kund. And at that time, Radha and Krishna decided that let's play the game of dice. And the game of dice, you have to stake something. Okay, I stake my jewelry. The only game of dice way we know is the game of dice between the Pandavas and Kauravas. But Radha Krishna also played the game of dice. They played the game of dice and Krishna said, okay, I stake my Kaustubha money. And the Krishna played and he lost. And Radharani won. Krishna had to give the Kaustubha jewel to Radharani. Krishna was very happy because he was always happy to see the Kaustubha jewel adorning Radharani. Then Krishna staked his pearl necklace. And he lost. Before this, the game of dice was happening, Krishna was, when he saw Radharani, was so much intoxicated and so much in a delirious situation, his flute fell down. He didn't know that his flute fell down he tucked it on his waist. His flute had fallen down. So when his flute fell down, Lalita Sakhi had taken the flute and she put it in her braid to hide it so that nobody knows that where Krishna's flute. And when they were playing the game of dice, Krishna lost the Kaustubha jewel, Krishna lost the pearl necklace, and the Radharani said, now you should stake your flute. Because Krishna's flute is like, you know, his real respect. Okay, if the flute gaya to, you are lost. So he said, Krishna said, okay, I stake my flute. And then Krishna staked his flute, and Radharani threw the dice, and she again won. I said, Krishna, now your flute is mine. Right? So Krishna said, oh, where's my flute? Where's my flute? And Krishna was so much like how what happens to us when we lose our mobile temporarily. It is an integral part of our body, right? So Krishna, when he saw there was no flute, I said, where's my flute? And he was searching everywhere. And they couldn't find the flute. In the meantime, Lalita removed the flute from her braid and gave it to Radharani, and Radharani put it in her braid. And she was laughing. Let us see what Krishna does. The Krishna was searching. Then he called for Madhur Mangal. Madhur Mangal, you are a Brahmana. You have got Brahma Tejas. And you are a sort of a person who can see things through a Brahma Nyan. Please find out from your divine vision, where is my flute? And Madhur Mangal engaged into deep meditation. And then he came out of his meditation. He said, your flute is with Lalita Sakhi. Madhur Mangal was a powerful Brahmana. So Krishna ran to Lalita Sakhi. As he ran to Lalita Sakhi, the messengers of Vrinda Devi came running to Radha Kund. Vrinda Devi's messengers are people who are informers. They inform what's happening. They are the managers of Krishna's pastimes. They manage. So they said running. He said, please go fast to Surya Kund, because Jatila and Kutila are coming there. If they don't see you worshipping Surya Narayan, it'll be a big problem. So please go fast there. So Radha Krishna and everybody, Radharani went there in a very, very nice way. She sat in front of Surya Narayan, worshipping Surya Narayan. And Jatila Kutila came and said, oh, our daughter-in-law is so wonderful. She was so intensely worshipping Surya Narayan. They said, but now we want to do a yajna for Surya Narayan. And we need brahmanas. I'm sure many of you have seen this little Krishna, this particular episode. They said, we need brahmanas who can really help us to do this Surya Puja. But he said, it's not easy to get brahmanas who can do Surya Puja. So they were looking for people, and then two brahmanas, who were actually Badu Mangal and Krishna, they dressed as brahmanas. Krishna, if he wants to dress up, he can be the most perfect person that he wants to dress up as. You cannot identify him. Krishna is the original Bahurupya. Right? So Krishna dressed up as a brahmana, Madhumala dressed as a brahmana, and they approached, they said, you are brahmanas, do you know Surya Puja? I mean, do you do puja? He said, we do puja, but we only do Surya Puja. We don't do any other puja because we are connected only to Surya Bhagwan. And Jatila Kutila said, that's exactly what we want to do. Oh, if that is exactly what you want, then we will do the puja for you. And they came and they did the whole puja. And it's a beautiful long story. We are going to cut it short. And they did the puja. And then, Jatila Kutila said, what is the dakshina we should give you? And they said, we want sweets and different types of sweets. And they gave these beautiful sweets. And as is explained by our acharyas, they gave the sweets. And as Krishna was taking the sweet from them, I mean, as Radharani was giving the sweet as part of the person who was doing the puja, the fruit fell down from her hair. And you can imagine. Because fruit means Krishna, and Krishna's fruit falling from Radharani's hair means problem. So Jatila and Kutila saw the fruit falling and said, what is that? Right? If for example, if you want to hide something, you put your hands and from your pocket, you know, rasmalai drops are coming out. You are caught red-handed. Radharani was caught red-handed, and Radharani was, of course, she said, well, what happened is, I found this coming from Govardhan, I found this fruit rolling down the Govardhan hill. And I took this fruit, and I realized this fruit causes so much trouble to all our gopis. Because when the fruit is played, we all go crazy. So I want to throw this fruit far in the Jamuna. So I put this fruit so that I can throw it to Jamuna. Jatila Kutila said, oh, very nice. This fruit needs to be thrown far away. Because this fruit belongs to Krishna, and we have nothing to do with anything belongs to Krishna. So that Brahmana, who was nobody but Krishna, he said, please give the fruit to me. I am going on the way to Mathura. I am going to pass Jamuna. I will throw it so far away that nobody will get it. So Jatila Kutila gave that flute to Krishna. And Krishna said, oh, at last I got my flute. But he was still as a Brahmana. And Madhu Mangal collected all the sweets. And Jatila went. And now they were all at Surya Kund. So now the gopas were there. Radharani also left. And Jatila Kutila left. And all the gopas were there. And all the gopas, what do you think they were eyeing? They were eyeing the whole huge feast that Madhu Mangal had. And Madhu Mangal just seeing their face, he said, nobody is going to get anything from here. This is a food of the Brahmana. If you look at it also, you will get sinful reactions. We'll talk of eating it. And then Lord Balram, our acharyas, beautifully explained this explained by many of our acharyas, Raghunath Das Goswami especially, explaining that when Balram saw this and he looked at Krishna, and Krishna just winked. So he exactly knew what to do. This is, by the way, at Surya Kund, and this such pastimes happen every day at Surya Kund. Lord Surya Narayan is a witness to all these beautiful pastimes. So then all the gopas went slowly coming. They walked towards Madhu Mangal, and Madhu Mangal realized what is in store for him. He said, don't come, don't come, don't come, don't come, don't come. And he was trying to collect this. Then one coward boy removed his dhoti from the back. And obviously when you remove dhoti, you have to take care of dhoti. Other, and he was holding, he had two hands. As they're trying to put the dhoti, other part is removed from the front, his dhoti. Other person is pulling his shikha. Other person is troubling them. And he was in such trouble. He said, I'm going to give you Brahmanical curses. And he was giving curses. But the coward boy said, who cares about your curses? And then they started eating all this food. And Krishna and Balram and the coward boys had a great time on this holy banks of Sri Suryakund. And the many more pastimes, I was going to tell two, but I'm obviously much beyond time. So this is the beautiful participation of Surya Bhagavan. It is on the Suryakund that we have the beautiful samadhi of Madhusudan Das Babaji Maharaj, who was the guru of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. He took shelter of this place. The point we are going to drive is the wonderful contribution of the Son in our life. Not only is he very much involved in Krishna's pastimes, and very much involved in Ram pastimes. Surya Bhagavan's sons. Anybody knows who are sons of Surya in among the monkeys? Sugriv. So he's very much involved in Ram pastimes, Krishna's pastimes. The Shamantaka jewel is all about the sun god giving the gift to Satrajit. And so many places sun god is involved. So I think let us really dedicate our day. And today is Sunday. So today is a wonderful day. It's the auspicious day of Gudi Padwa, Yugadi, whatever you call it. And today on this occasion, let us really dedicate and thank Surya Bhagavan. And let us pray to Lord, Surya Bhagavan, the Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andakar Jahan Krishna Tahanai Maharadikar. That may the sun god, may the original sun god Krishna just fill our hearts with so much of wisdom, so much of realization, so there is no darkness of avidya or ignorance in our heart, and slowly we utilize this life and the service of Krishna and the service of Srila Prabhupada and the service of all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Gantra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki Shri Surya Narayan Bhagavan ki Nitai Gopimanandi.
Hare Krishna. There is some announcement from base classes. Bhakti Shastri course in English is starting from April 8th by Srikanta Krishna Prabhu. Bhakti Vaibha course in English is starting from April 8th by Mukund Mala Prabhu. Bhakti Shastri course in Marathi is starting today by Tarun Gauranga Prabhu. And also Bhakti Vaibha course in Marathi is starting today by Dina Gauranga Prabhu. For more details, kindly see the notice board downstairs.